Father Todd and I, we just bless your name. We lift you up.
Hallelujah.
We just praise you, Father. Who is like you, Lord? Who is like you, Jesus? Father, come into our gathering, into our midrash here tonight. Bless us, Father. Give us spiritual wisdom and understanding. Give us that deeper meaning, Father, that we know that we want to align with you. Help our spirits testify with your spirit in the knowledge and wisdom that you want us to know. Help us to prepare to go forth and to share this knowledge and to be where you're at in this following week.
Thank you, Father.
In reference to what we're learning, Father. Mm-hmm. I know you have plans for us, and I know that there's others who need to hear these words and who need to have blessings from this. So I just thank you, Father, for your faithfulness with us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we are studying chapter 13. Last week we studied 12, and we put up a kind of a cast of characters on the board, and we've added a couple tonight. What we're going to do is I'm going to have the four of you down there each read four verses of this, and we'll just when you get to the last reading, why don't we start with you, Jane? When we get to the last one, Deb, go ahead and read until you finish, huh?
Okay. And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power, and his throne, and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him?"
And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Whoever has ears, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. Is that 4, 9, 10? Oh, one more. Okay, I could go. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed.
And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that it would speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which was the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666.
Okay. Praise God. Let's talk about our characters in this one. Who are the players? By the way, we recognize these last two chapters as being informational. They describe some specific things about things that I believe we've already seen taking place before, but we haven't seen the players in depth. But now we're getting the description of these people's not a good word, but these forces that are at work. And so some of them might be people as far as that goes, but let's look at it anyhow. And notice this first beast. I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Does anybody have any information that they have in their mind about where sea comes in when you see sea prophetically?
Doesn't it mean people, groups of people?
Right. Mm. Normally in Hebrew, the word for people is am. We'd say am, am, am. And am Yisrael is the people of Israel. Eretz Israel is the land of Israel. So he sees them coming out of the, could be the people. You know, sometimes we have to look at things both ways and say, is it one way or the other, or is it actually speaking both ways?
We were talking earlier today, and I think in this, one of his references over here, his translations, it's I, John, stood on mm-hmm. the sands of the sea. And the sand stuck out to me. Because what did God tell Abraham? Mm. You will be as the sands of the sea.
That's good.
And
good.
So is it, right, we have the literal, but we also have that spiritual implication mm-hmm. of standing in this vast multitude mm-hmm. of God's people.
Mm-hmm. 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 The vast multitude of God's people. The sand,
seashore, yes.
And on the other side of the seashore, the sea, you've got the rest of the people,
yes.
Don't you? That's good. That's very good. That's I think that's a definitely worthy of meditation, and it seems to fit the what we're seeing here. But I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Does one of them call them something else besides a beast? Is some
dragons?
Yeah. Okay. Which I think probably fits. Rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. You might think that if it was like a leopard, that might describe its body, huh? Its torso, like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon, so that's why I say I think dragon would fit here, because the imagery, the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. Where did we see the dragon?
In the last chapter.
Last chapter, there was a red dragon mm-hmm. that we saw, and in chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible tells specifically who the dragon was, that old serpent, the devil, right?
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you, have you ever heard, and I don't know where I'm getting it, but it's just ringing a bell, that the snake was a dragon that had been de-winged?
I have heard that he was defooted or defeated.
Yeah. You're probably
defeated. Yeah.
He was defeated.
Yeah. Okay, I thought you meant literally. But have you ever heard that?
I haven't actually. I haven't actually heard that. It's interesting.
We defeated.
That's right.
In this particular dragon, or this particular beast, you don't see anything about any wings. But we'll get some pictures that come out, and you may have something. You know, there may be something there. You know, let's go on with his description. I saw one of his heads as if it had been. Now, every version seems to say something like it seemed like, or it looked as if. And I think that's very important that you make note of that. It looked as if it had been mortally wounded. And it says his deadly wound was healed. I believe that it would carry over that it looked as if his deadly wound was healed. It looked as if he had a mortal wound, and it looked as if that wound was healed. And we'll talk about this a little bit more, but think about this. Satan always wants to do what?
Counterfeit
the kingdom. That's what he wants to do. And the great mark of Christianity is not just the death of Yeshua.
It's the resurrection.
Because if he was still dead, there would be no no hope.
No yeehaw.
That's right. But he is raised from the dead. And so we know that victory has to come through that. And so, again, this emulation. But is Satan empowered to resurrect? Does he have power and authority to resurrect? No, but he has power and authority to
take death back.
And deceive.
And to deceive.
He deceives. That's where his power is the power of deception. It looked as if he is as a roaring lion. It looks as if he's defeating the world. It looks as if he's in charge. And it says, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. How many of you know that when something which can't be explained happens, people marvel? And they, by the way, people are looking for things like this. People are looking for things, and the interesting thing is that the world looks for those things away from where they are supposed to occur.
Well, it seems like they look for them in creation rather than creator.
That's right. They look for them in the power of man overcoming and becoming more powerful rather than God empowering man to do something. And that's the big difference here. Satan always wants to work through men. He wanted to work through Yeshua, didn't he? And it's been said that in all ages, Satan has had candidates to be his anti. Because it's through man that he has to rule and reign on this earth, just as God has given authority into man to have dominion on this earth. And so when you see this this beast that seems to have a mortal wound that is healed, and if it's a mortal wound, what does that mean? Mortal.
Killed him.
It killed him.
Yeah.
It appeared as if he was dead. And that's, remember, that's what they accused Yeshua of. It just looked like he was dead. I believe that's the reason the soldier stuck the spear in his side. Because when he stuck the spear in his side, he gave irrefutable evidence when the water and the blood flowed out that the pericardial sac surrounding the heart had burst. And no one could live with that. There was an absolute certainty of it. But that was the one of the deceptions the enemy tried to bring up, was that he wasn't really dead. The Passover plot, you've all remember that, was that he had been drugged, but he wasn't dead. It just appeared all of his functions had slowed down. So they were trying to say that about him. I believe this is what's going on here. But before we go into this too deeply, let's not make an absolute assumption that this is talking about a man that is being mortally wounded here. It could also be
ideology
and the system. That's right, the system. But at least we can talk about all of these things, and I believe the Holy Spirit. In fact, I believe it may possibly be both.
I do too.
I believe this may possibly be both a system that looked like it was dead and still is. And it may also be, and the reason I believe it is because of what happens later when the false prophet comes on the scene. Let's talk about these. Who is this first beast from the sea? The beast that rises up out of people or out of mankind. Who would that be? The dragon. Who is that?
Satan.
Is it Satan?
Well,
the red dragon is.
Mine says it's the Roman Empire.
And that has been an assumption through eschatologists for years that it's the Roman Empire.
Well, and this one has three more crowns, too. He has 10 diadems. The other one only had 7. I don't know what's
in according to others, he's the final.
He picked up a few after he got hurled to earth.
Antichrist.
Let me show you why many people believe, if we go to Daniel chapter 7. And I'm going to take some time on reading this tonight. Do you have something to say about this while we're here?
One thing that I don't think it is the red dragon or Satan. It, one thing Deb and I were talking about today, it's almost like you see a trinity, a three-part thing.
I think you're absolutely right.
It's an unholy.
It is. Yeah. It's trinity. The flip side getting
there again, just what you were
and
just talking
the
about.
Reason imitation. This beast is so explicit in the way it is he saw it is because it is different. And it's like the leopard. What do you see as a leopard? They're fast. Mm-hmm. They move quick. A bear, bare feet.
Powerful.
Powerful. Tear you apart. And roaring is the mouth of a lion. Mm-hmm. So it is this, and it's mingled. Think about this. Yeah. It would be like mutated, mingled seed.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's talk about this so-called Trinity. And again, you know, when I talk about God, I really don't like to use Trinity. I almost believe that Satan has coined this term because I think God is more than... Trinity just helps man to understand it.
He's Echad.
That's right. And Trinity has always been one of the big dividers between Christians and Jews. That word is a tremendous divider. But nevertheless, the three personality, three... entity is irrefutable. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that wholeheartedly. I'm not one of those oneness preachers that believes that, you know, the Father is the Son and is the Holy Spirit and they're just one. They just called by different names at different times. I don't believe that. I believe there's three. Again, here, this word comes up though, because Satan, I believe, would try to emulate the Father. So who would the great red dragon then be in that group?
He would try to be the equal of the Father.
The equal of the Father, or the imitation of the Father. And the dragon that comes up out of the sea
would be the imitation of Yeshua.
Of Yeshua, the Son, right?
Out of the water?
He comes out of the peoples, you might say. Right. Now also, when we talk about the waters, anytime you read throughout all of the Old Testament, when it talks about the sea, the great sea, the directions around Jerusalem, always speak of the Mediterranean as the sea.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we may be talking about a spiritual interpretation and an actual, that this somehow from this Mediterranean region, you know that all of the prophetic world, if you read the Bible, the prophetic world surrounds the Mediterranean.
Right.
It always does. It surrounds it. And about as far away as the as it gets is into Babylon.
Yeah.
But Babylon ruled also. In fact, every major world empire has ruled the Mediterranean. They have gotten to the Mediterranean. So this is important to get this, the sea. And I'm just bringing a lot of this out for more information about it. But let's look at Daniel chapter 7. And I'm just going to take some time with it, even if we have to go another week on this chapter. Please.
And remember, Jesus, how many times has he been referred to as what? Living water. Mm-hmm. Fountains of living water. That is once again that deception in trying to take.
That's right.
Title.
Right. Mm-hmm. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, and Belshazzar was a king that followed Nebuchadnezzar, right? In Babylon, king of Babylon. Daniel, who had served under Nebuchadnezzar, now is serving under Belshazzar. Daniel had a dream. Now, how many remember that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream too earlier? What was his dream about?
That he was in this, wasn't the first one, he was out there eating grass and...
That actually happened to him afterwards. That wasn't his dream.
As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me.
And what had he seen?
When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence and I told him the dream. He is called Belshazzar after the name of my God and the spirit of the holy gods in him. Here is my dream interpreted for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Right. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree, and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it, and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field."
Okay, now, that particular dream was a dream about Nebuchadnezzar, about himself. He dreamed about himself. The other dream that he had, he saw an image. How many remember the image he saw? It was huge.
The feet of clay.
That's right. Its head was gold. And it came down and it kept getting less and less precious.
And then mixed.
Until finally the 10 toes were iron and... Right, okay. And Daniel interpreted that for him too. Now what happened when he interpreted the one you're talking about, the tree? That was after that Nebuchadnezzar then did go out and he acted like a beast for what, three
years.
Long time.
7 years.
And he ate grass of the field like cattle did but the other one was after he saw this beast or this statue. And Daniel interpreted it as kingdoms. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It was as kingdoms. Now, Daniel really gets into the kingdoms. Now, in this seventh chapter, this is after Nebuchadnezzar's gone, and Belshazzar's the king, but Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed, and he wrote down the dream telling the main facts. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, means there's things he saw that we don't know yet, right? Daniel spoke, saying, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up what?
The great sea.
The great sea. The great sea. What are the four winds of heaven?
Isn't it the angels that are holding all those things back?
Well, in this particular case, I believe these are demonic spirits of the prince of the power of the air, and that their job there is to cause chaos. And where in the world is there more chaos than around the great sea? There's more chaos that goes on in this region than anywhere in the world. And they were stirring up the great sea, and while they're stirring up the great sea, four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth. Maybe that's that dragon losing its wings, huh?
Yeah.
And then it was made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly, another beast. If you see this the way it is, it's almost like Daniel's watching this first fearsome beast, and the second one comes in and is vying for authority. Suddenly, another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised on one side, up on one side, and had 3 ribs. And we'll have to talk about that. I don't know what that is. In its mouth, between its teeth, and they said thus to it, "Arise, devour much flesh." After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads. And dominion was given to it. And this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had what?
10 horns.
10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom the 3 of the 1st horns were plucked out by the roots. Maybe those are the ribs we saw, huh? Maybe they were horns. I don't know. 3. And there in his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. Are you seeing the similarities between what we saw in Revelation, what we're seeing here? I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. Now, who's that?
God.
That's God. That's the Father. Amen. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool, or it could be Yeshua himself. I don't know. His throne was a fiery flame. Its wheels a burning fire. Remember, Ezekiel saw that too.
And the wheels, yeah.
Yeah. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. I watched because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. You see it all taking place in just a few minutes here, what we're reading about in Revelation. And for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, so I'm seeing Father and Son there. And they brought him near before him. Them to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away in his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this, so he told me, and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth. Now, I can tell you right now, most people feel that we're talking about Babylon. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Persia. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Greece. Mm-hmm. What happened to Greece? What happened when Alexander died? Alexander the Great. Does anybody know? There were four kings that rose up in his place. And you'll see that in this as we're talking about it. You'll see four kings came in. One of those kings was in the area of Assyria, or Syria, in that area where Abraham, I believe, came from. A lot of people believe he came from Babel. The more I read about it, the more convinced I am he came out of Syria, much closer to Haran than what I'd originally believed. But anyhow, that's where he came from. The saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. Even forever and ever. Now, what's that mean? That means that we are going to receive this kingdom. We're the saints of the Most High. And he says, then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceeding dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. And the ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth, which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. Isn't it interesting? He was a little horn, but he was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom. Now, there we're seeing something a little different, aren't we? This one little horn is prevailing over the other ten, but ten. Now, this is why the Roman Empire has gained this. This is the belief, that there are 10 kingdoms in the Roman Empire. Now, if any of you know what's happened to the EU, the European Union, there's more than 10 in it right now. Mm-hmm. I think there's at least 12 in it now, maybe more. Mm-hmm. And so there's some problems with this thing, you know. 12. Huh?
There 12? Is 12, right. Because it has the 12 stars on its flag.
Okay.
It's the blue flag with the 12 stars.
And they're already having problems about sticking together. Have you noticed that? But I find that most of the people that we would be listening to, evangelical, spirit-filled people, tend to believe still that this has something to do with the Roman Empire. And
is this fourth beast talking about the woes in Revelation?
The four what now?
This fourth beast. Is this talking about what's going to happen in the woes?
I think he's involved, but I don't think it's talking about the woes. Partly because he affects people. You know, he definitely brings damage to people. But if you really look about the woes, all of those woes seem to be judgment-oriented and not man-oriented. In fact, they're sent to judge him. You know, he gets judged with these woes. These woes hurt people. And that seems to be what that is, the three of them. Okay. And we still haven't gotten to the third woe yet. We're still, because the seventh trumpet has to sound yet.
One of the things, because it's the little horn that comes out, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the thing that hit me in Revelation is it talks about a little horn as a lamb, or, you know, it's like a lamb. Mm-hmm. So what does that say? Mm-hmm. Peace. It's going to come under the banner mm-hmm. of, I see it.
Right.
Of peace.
Right. That's
peace,
right.
Peace when there is
no where there peace. Is no peace. That's right. Absolutely. We mentioned this earlier, that Satan seemed to have had candidates through all the ages. Probably Cain was one of his candidates. You know, if you really look at it, Haman would have been a candidate for Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the term Antichrist, I think we can all agree, would fit this beast that comes out of the sea. But the little horn is the person of Antichrist. Mm-hmm. The picture of the seven heads and the ten horns seemed to be his system. The system, or a popular term now, and I think it may fit as we read through, is the one world government. Mm-hmm. The one world government that comes in at that time. It says, he shall speak pompous words, this little horn, against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall do what? Now listen to this. Shall intend to change times and law. Mm-hmm. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half a time. Where have we heard that before? We've been studying it, haven't we? The time, times, and half a time.
No, how much is a time?
Huh? Well, in this case, it seems it's a year.
But that would be 2.5.
Huh?
That would be 2.5.
A time, times. So what? Don't look at it as an X times. Look That's at right. it time, and then two times, and then a half a time.
Got it. That's right. What I was trying to figure
yeah,
out.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. All right. So that's the 42 months.
42 months. Time times half a time. 1,260 days, or 3.5 years.
Okay.
But the court shall be seated. You remember the court in heaven? There's 24 elders around there, and. There's multitudes of angels, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly trouble me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now, back to Revelation. Well,
let's
look.
What version are you reading? What is that?
This is the New King James.
Okay.
I believe.
Intended to change times and law.
Yeah.
The holy days, the feasts,
uh-huh.
like everything that,
uh-huh.
that we know to be the bedrock of what God told us how to walk, what was his appointed times.
Right.
And the law is not the law of Yeshua, it's not the law of Yahweh, it's the law of man. Mm. It's humanism, it's changing that, the, you know, everything that is evil is good.
That's
what
right.
is good is evil.
I believe that's exactly it. Mm. It's the good, evil, evil, good thing. That's right. Mm. What we call it. And that's what's going on right now. I mean, that is so rampant. Oh, yeah. It's so easy to see, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, if you speak up against certain things, you're in danger of hating. And not only in danger of being called a hater, but in danger of being prosecuted for it, right? Mm-hmm. You could be prosecuted for hating someone. Mm-hmm. But it's not, if you want to hate a Christian, why go
it's
right
so
ahead.
Right. Yes.
You can hate Christians, that's
yeah,
okay. Because after all...
In fact, I got a punching bag that says Christian. I'll sell it to you.
Yep. So, you know, let's look at Daniel 8 just for a second. And get another picture of this beast that came up out of the sea. Look at 8 and verse 23. Okay. Here they're talking again about who's what, you know, but I just want to get down into 23, where we're actually talking about this last time. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness. I think I've spoken to you at some time about how God seems to be almost too long-suffering sometime. Have you ever thought that? That he just puts up with stuff for so long and long and long. And you know, when we look at it from human eyes, most of us would have reacted. If we were God, we would have destroyed the world a long time ago, you know?
Several times. Huh?
That's right, you know? But God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. God is not long-suffering as men count long-suffering, but he's tender toward people. He really wants to get everyone he can out of this mess.
Yeah.
So in this latter time, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, the cup of iniquity is full.
Mm-hmm.
A king shall arise having fierce features, or some place call it a fierce countenance. Did yours say countenance?
Mm-hmm.
Fierce countenance, who understands sinister schemes. What else does something say there besides sinister?
Understanding dark sentences.
Yeah. The dark. Message says he's a master trickster who is hard-faced.
Dark trickery and craftiness.
Yeah.
What verse is this?
23 at the bottom of it.
Mine says master of intrigue.
Master of intrigue, huh?
I don't get that one.
Well, you know, people are intrigued by intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who do they like? They like the old Walter Hitchcock kind of things and the Outer Limits. And
yeah.
Yeah. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Won't be by his own power. What's that mean? Well, what do we read in Revelation? The dragon will give him his what?
Power.
His power and his authority and his throne. Right? Says he shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people, which we would think would be talking about God's saints or holy. That's what that is, the sanctified ones. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. That sounds like his daddy, doesn't it? If he exalts himself in his heart, isn't that what brought him down? He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes. Who would that be?
Jesus.
Yeshua. But he shall be broken without human means. In other words, God won't have to send a human army against him. What's going to defeat him?
Us. The word?
The sword that goeth out of his mouth. Huh. He will be destroyed with the brightness of his coming. I'm going to leave this at this point, but Henrietta, go ahead and tell us some of the names of that are given to this person. John's the only one that calls this person Antichrist.
Can I say one thing?
Sure, absolutely.
We have to realize what I really saw was a very clear picture. Just as the Father had to send the Son and give him his, he walked and took back all of our sinful nature and walked perfectly. But that kingdom, that power was given to the Son. You've got the same thing. Hasatan is a what? Spirit. A spirit has to have a host to be able to carry it out. So that's why he is giving all authority, all power, all dominion.
That's right.
Because he can't do it in the physical realm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's right.
Okay, Henrietta, names.
So, do you have some of those names for us that we find in Scripture for this beast that comes out of the sea?
Well, in 1 John 2:18, John calls him the Antichrist, and actually, John is the only one that calls him the Antichrist. He refers to him four times as the Antichrist, but no other place is he referred to as the Antichrist.
Let's stop for just a second and say, what is Antichrist? What does that mean?
anti-Messiah.
Okay.
Not Christ. And,
huh?
Not Christ.
We're it's
against.
Against
Christ. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you see the name Christ, what do you see?
The anointed one.
The anointed one and his anointing.
Uh-huh.
And if you look back through the ages, mm-hmm. who has been persecuted more than anyone but the one who exhibits the true anointing of God?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that you can depend on bringing persecution. The newspapers will get out and persecute people if they're doing miracles. They're undoubtedly money-grubbing televangelists, mm-hmm. right? Which has become, isn't that interesting? It's become a bad name, a televangelist.
Charlatans.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the thing is, they usually ignore if they're really miracles.
Yeah, that's right.
They'll go after guys who are burning Korans and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
They want to make a spectacle
yeah.
of everything.
That's right. Yeah, go ahead.
No, well, not only is he against Christ, but he's against the Spirit, too,
yeah.
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy
you know?
Spirit
so
who brings the anointing. Yeah.
Anti-Christ, against Christ, against or anti-Spirit, you know,
mm-hmm.
against the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In Isaiah 10, verse 24, and Isaiah 14, verse 25, he's called the Assyrian.
And let me just read that real quick in the 24th verse of 10. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. Mm-hmm. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while and the indignation will cease, as will my anger in their destruction. So God's telling them, yeah, this Assyrian, and that's a name for him, which I believe, contrary to what most people believe, that Antichrist is going to come out of the European Roman Empire. I mean, he may be part of the Roman Empire, but remember, the Roman Empire went a long way.
Yeah.
And all the way around the Mediterranean down into Africa, and Assyria would have been one of the places. And interestingly enough, he comes out of the same place that God called Abraham from. Would that be, again, an interesting counterfeit?
And then Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8 and Daniel 8 verses 9 through 12, he's referred to as the little horn. We've just read some of that. Daniel 8:23, we've read that too, the king of fierce countenance. And Daniel 9:26, the prince that shall come. And Daniel 11:36, willful king. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8, he's referred to as that wicked one, the beast, the man of sin, and the son of perdition.
That's 2 Thessalonians what?
2, 3 through 8.
Think of the son of perdition. There again, you've got that term,
mm-hmm.
son.
Mm-hmm.
The son of perdition. And really, I mean, when you think son of perdition, you could be saying son of Hasatan. Son of the adversary. So, we look at him, and we've been seeing this guy, and we see what he does. He was given a mouth speaking great things back in Revelation 13:5, and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for how long?
42 months.
Now, remember when you talk about this period that men call the tribulation period, that there's two parts to it. And they're split it up into, by the way, all time is measured in what? Sevens. The weeks, the 70 weeks of Daniel. Well, they're really talking about a lot longer than weeks, aren't they? But there's the sevens. The sevens come into all of this. And so here we've got sevens, but we've got a split right down the middle of the sevens. I believe in the first half of these 3.5 years, that Antichrist will have been called, but will not be revealed. Now, this is important to get this, you know. He's probably in the earth today.
Mm-hmm.
But remember that John said, and this is one of the things we find in 1 John 2 there, he says there are already many Antichrists.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that candidate thing. There are many people who are against the anointing. And there are many people that have been given a certain amount of power from Satan to carry out his bidding. Mm-hmm. They stand against the anointing, and they have this same mouth of blasphemy that comes all the time. But there's one man that's going to be that little horn. Now, it seems to me that in the first 3.5 years, if you study this out, he is deceiving and gaining prominence. He's being put forth. Have any of you ever heard the talks about the Trilateral Commission, the mm-hmm. Bilderbergs, the Illuminati, and all of this? Well, there seems to be a something going on with these wealthy people. One of them comes up all the time anymore is this Soros guy. That have a whole lot of influence. And I don't know if you've ever paid attention to how presidents come on the scene.
They're backed by somebody.
Always.
Always.
Always. And think about this. All of the presidents of nowadays, all of the rulers of nowadays, seem to be put forth by someone, but not grassroots. In my opinion, this is the reason one particular political party has had such weak candidates the last couple elections. They've really been weak.
Yeah.
But they've been put forth by these people, and, you know, there seems to be an anointing committee that does this, that put these forward. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever heard David Barton speak about the way things should be. He said in the time of when this land was formed, George Washington did not want to be president. Mm-hmm. In fact, George Washington spent most of his career trying to retire. Mm-hmm. He would be the general for a while, and, you know, he'd win some battles, and he'd say, okay, that's enough, I'm going to retire. No, no, we need you. We need you. And the people put him forth. Mm-hmm. These weren't people running for office. These were people being drafted to come in by people who needed them. And that was when the land was godly. Mm-hmm. But now what happens all the time is people are getting this. That's right. And they're coming in and they're being placed. Well, I believe this is happening right now in satanic realm. There are many antichrists, and probably they make up some of these committee things, see?
An interesting tidbit about George Soros. He is also a Jew.
Uh-huh. Oh, and that happens a lot.
Did not know that.
In fact, some of the worst enemies of Judaism are Jews. Some of the worst ones, I don't know if you remember, there was a time that Henry Kissinger was, a lot of people were just sure he was Antichrist. Kenneth Hagin said, when I was a young minister, he said, I used to name who was going to be Antichrist, and he said, then most of them died, and I quit. And the bottom line is, we don't need to know. I don't believe we're going to be here to see him.
Right.
I believe we're going to be gone before he comes on the scene. Amen?
Yes.
But remember this, 3.5 years. 3.5 years, I believe he's gaining power, but not revealed for the first 3.5. But at the end of 3.5 years, he's going to be revealed. And when he's revealed, then there's going to be this open blasphemy against God. And what happens in that is that he makes sometime in the first 3.5, it appears, or maybe right at 3.5 years, probably in the first 3.5, he makes a covenant with Israel. Now get that down. He makes a covenant with Israel. Now, Israel doesn't make covenants real easy with unbelievers. But there are a lot of, in fact, right now in Israel, a lot of the Knesset are secular Jews. Remember, they're the ones that are the worst enemies of Judaism, are these secular Jews. Most of those guys would make a deal in a minute with the Palestinians. They'd make a deal in a minute with the people round about them, and they would say, peace, peace. But there is no peace, right? Sometime or another, there's going to be a covenant made. Now, this is going to be strong, strong, strong deception. I've always questioned. How would Israeli people accept anyone but a Jew as a Messiah. Mm-hmm. And this covenant's going to be an indication of an acceptance of the messianic nature of this person, wow. I believe.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about a Syrian, and by the way, you know, Jews can come from anywhere, right?
Yeah.
They could be Germans, mm-hmm. they could be, you know, in fact, they could come right about out of Iran and be Jewish, you know. But this guy's going to have some kind of credentials. But he's not going to be revealed. We're not going to know who he is. I don't believe we're supposed to know who he is. In fact, I don't care who he is. I just know where his power comes from, and I know he's an enemy. Mm-hmm. But when he comes, in that 3.5-year period is the break point, then he is going to begin to conquer. And the beginning of that conquering will be that he will break that covenant with Israel. And I believe it might happen something like this. That he's going to, and what does Satan always want to do? He wants to anti-Christ, anti-anointing. And how do you do that? You know, what was the anti-anointing thing in the desert? Moses up talking to God, getting
idols.
An idol, a golden calf. And I believe there's going to be an idol put right into a rebuilt temple of God and wheeled right into the holy place. Well, that's going to be blasphemy. That's too much for anybody to take. They're going to know the covenant's been broken right at that time. And that is that abomination of desolation that we read about in Daniel. Jesus talked about it in Matthew and probably Mark and Luke too. I can't remember for sure, but I'm positive he talked about the abomination that makes desolate. And that is the beginning of the final 42 months of tribulation. You remember Jesus said, then there shall be great tribulation. And you can mark that down. The final 42 months is great tribulation. And he said, except those days should be shortened, there would no flesh be saved. Now that's dire. You got to figure that, you know, this, remember the cup of iniquity is full. The transgressors are to their limit. They've changed times and laws and everything has gotten to this place where if those days weren't shortened, Hasatan would triumph in what he's trying to do. And that is, if I can't triumph outright, I'll triumph by destroying. He's a destroyer, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to try to destroy the world. Now, what's keeping him from being revealed?
Us.
Us. Why?
Because the Holy Spirit dwells within us and we have dominion and power.
And we have dominion. We have been given dominion. And the reason as much of the anti-Christ thing is going as powerful as it is right now is because a lot of Christians don't take any dominion at all. They roll with the punches. In fact, there are many, many Christians that attribute what's going on to the sovereignty of God.
Right.
And put up no resistance at all. Right. Not in prayer, not in their belief. There are many Christians that just think that what will be, will be.
Mm-hmm. And this is where I personally see the strategy of Hasatan is he came and got in the church and took the word and perverted the word that we are constantly not, we don't realize we are. Who are we? We are the righteousness of Christ. We have dominion. We have power. And he has brought it into such a inward, oh, batty nod person mm-hmm. that we've given up.
That's right. Many, many have. Many, many people. Mm-hmm. And this goes to a lot of different areas. I mean, there's more than one area you can operate your dominion. One of the, you know, we can even operate dominion in a secular area. We can write letters. Mm-hmm. We can vote. Mm-hmm. But a lot of Christians have given up on it completely. Just, you know, what's the difference? It's not going to make any difference. No matter what I do, no matter, you know, what I say is not going to matter.
It's because we do not believe and have faith. We have faith, we stand, we proclaim, it doesn't happen. So then you go,
That's right.
It didn't work.
And my people are destroyed by their lack of understanding.
That's right, by lack of knowledge. And the Lord said that when you speak before kings, they'll not be able to withstand you. Now think of these two witnesses that we looked at last week. Mm-hmm. These two witnesses, you know, I don't know who they are, you know, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if it's Joe the plumber and Bill the roofer, you know. These two guys are going to stand. And I mean, really, you know, what would be more amazing if Moses came back? And by the way, Moses just like us. Elijah's just like us. The Bible tells us that. But wouldn't it even be more amazing if two unknown saints really believe and stand up and they begin to exercise dominion in a time when the church is already taken out of here, you know? Well, or not given up. I believe I believe what's happening here tonight is an increasing of what we're supposed to be doing. And it's not just because we're here, it's because of what we're going to take back out and spread, you know, as we go. There's going to be other people going to hear this.
Right. I just keep thinking, you keep saying dominion, and there's so many different sects of society, right? Various different groups of people, ideas that they hold strong. They know that they should go into the world and preach their dominion and push it on other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we changed laws here in our own state.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we are now having to stand in acceptance of all of those things because they pushed their dominion. But if we say that we have dominion, we are haters or Bible thumpers or something else. And so many people, because Hasatan has come into religion, that everything has been so perverted in the Word, or for the lack of reading the Word, that, well, God's will just be done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't we all pray the Our Father?
Yeah.
I mean, we know the words,
right?
But nobody takes anything to heart.
That's right.
So everything that we believe in is getting yanked away from us, and we are supposed to accept their dominion in our lives.
Right. But here's the problem. Here's where this thing has gone awry. And John mentioned him a minute ago. He said about there are certain kinds of Christians that, you know, get out and they do a whole lot of stuff. They, you know, they get out and they try to bomb the Dome of the Rock, you know. They go into mosques and shoot people and stuff like that. Well, what is that? You know, I'm not saying these people aren't born again Christians, but I'm saying they're deceived and they're fighting a
physical thing, and it's the
weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Not carnal.
Remember, we talked a little bit last week about the Church of Laodicea. I was thinking about it this week, it's not the law.
No.
And the grace
mixed
together. It's the grace and the world
mixed
together.
Yeah.
More and more churches are becoming like,
hodgepodge.
Yeah. Well, what's
Dr. Phil show.
Yeah, it is. It's like a motivational speaker type.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's good. Sure. Well, you know.
Well, I'm accepting of everything and everybody.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's what made us lukewarm. Because the world, Satan's very clever. He's slowly but surely. Mm-hmm. And they're good things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Quote, unquote, good things.
Because we don't want to offend anybody.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But we've lost track of the way to take dominion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that when we take dominion God's way, it's still not going to cause persecution. But I am saying that when we take dominion God's way, it's going to be real dominating.
Yeah.
It's going to do something and, you know, not just get us thrown in jail. You might get thrown in jail, but not just get thrown in jail. It's going to be because you're effective, right?
The doors will just open and I'll...
That's right. Jail's not the worst thing that can happen when doors open up of their own accord, right? Let's listen to something about our restraining power. In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul, you know, wrote this book to the Thessalonians. Really, he was writing to correct some mistakes that had gotten in. And there were, you know, clear back, there were a lot of false teaching going out. A lot of antichrist, that's the reason. But he said, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, or our being raptured out of here, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Apparently some people were already saying, you already missed it. Yeah. Let no one deceive you by any means. And who would like to deceive you more than anyone else? Ha-Satan. By the way, a few years back, I heard reports coming out of China that persecution was so bad over there that the people were just sure they had to be in the last days of the tribulation and that they had missed the rapture. Wow. And they were trying to get word out to the church and find out if anybody was still here. They were just sure they had missed it. But it says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. I believe that's come. I believe, and that's that a word that we have for apostasy is the Greek word there. Unless it comes first, and the man of sin is revealed. That was one of his names, wasn't it? And what was the other one? The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple. That's that picture we just had. Him sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Showing himself.
Yeah, showing himself. That's right. I think he probably carries mirrors around all the time. Like mirror, mirror on the wall.
Or setting up an idol of himself.
Right, and setting up an idol. That's right.
Well, that's what caused Satan to fall in the first place.
That's right. Pride. That's right.
You know, he's in love with himself.
That's right.
He needs to draw attention to himself.
And those things have to happen before the day of the Lord.
That's right.
Yes.
They have to happen, I believe, they have to happen before this tribulation period is over. Or before the last 3.5 years. Before the last 3.5 years, he has to be revealed. But he says, don't you remember, verse 5, that when I was still with you, when I was actually there pastoring you in Thessalonica, I told you these things. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. You remember what we said about a variety of candidates? I don't think Satan knows the times all. I don't think he absolutely knew. He was thinking all along, this may be the time when he's getting ready to come back and we'll have this battle. So he was always ready to pick somebody up. Adolf Hitler was probably a good example. Mm-hmm. You know, probably a real good example. And by the way, how did he come in? He didn't come in with viciousness. He came in adding hope to those people of Germany who were burning piles of their money as firewood. That's what they'd do over there. They would burn money because it was so worthless.
And
so it was better to heat with it.
It's an interesting thing to see because we have seen many antichrists. Mm-hmm. They always come against the Jews.
That's right.
And each time it comes stronger.
That's true. That's right.
The spirits are still out there. Those
that's right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The allies didn't.
Yeah, you can't kill those guys. That's right. It says, the mystery of lawlessness, verse 7, is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, say lawless one.
Lawless one.
What is lawless? I wonder if that was in Hebrew, how that would read. If God wrote this, do you think God speaks Hebrew? What?
Torah.
Yeah, the Torahless.
Torahless.
The one who is outside. Listen, you know, I believe this revival of the Torah is so powerful right now because it has to happen. I believe God's church. Now, I'm not saying this is the thing that's going to get people saved, but they have to begin to understand that he didn't do away with this. Jesus said, not one yod, not one stroke will be taken out of the Torah until all be fully filled. Until I fulfill everything. Well, he hadn't fulfilled everything. He can't fulfill everything until he comes back and takes us home. Mm-hmm. Until he comes back. So all of this is still incumbent as far as instruction. Now, Get it right now. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what I'm talking about. Not the law of sin and death, which was done away in the blood of Yeshua. He did it all. It's finished. But this instruction, the times.
He changed the times.
Yeah. He wants those. He's a lawless one. And he's going to be revealed. So you begin to see how this all dovetails, doesn't it?
The reason for changing times and, you know, the time. God set the feasts. They are the framework, the rehearsal. And he says, draw near to me. Mm-hmm. When I am close to be found.
When I may be found.
So if you change all of that.
That's right.
Because there's the truth here. There's a lifeline. It's the Sabbath. It's the festivals. There are appointed times. You do it how long?
Forever.
So that is that wanting to disrupt it.
That's right.
It's a chaos theory.
That's right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there again, that's these four winds blowing all this time, these evil spirits bringing all this chaos, all this confusion. And the confusion, you know, really came powerfully under that whole Roman Empire mm-hmm. system. Mm-hmm. That was when it happened. In fact, I believe that's when Hasatan joined the church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's when he really joined the church, right at that time. And that was when the first times were changed. Mm-hmm. Right during that time. Mm-hmm. And it became law in the church, mm-hmm. that you would not celebrate the feasts of God. That was a law.
Yes, it was.
It was punishable by death.
It was?
Yes, you couldn't celebrate the feasts anymore. You had to separate from every, because the Jews were Jesus killers. You have to separate yourself from everything that is Jewish.
And what time was that?
That's why it was okay.
That would have been in the
them.
3rd, 4th century.
Constantine.
I didn't know it was a law, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Made laws about it.
You were killed for hanging out with Jews.
Absolutely.
Having anything to do with it.
That's right. You were not to celebrate any of the feasts. You were not to celebrate Shabbat. The new Sabbath is Sunday. It will be the first day of the week, not the seventh day of the week.
And did many of them continue to practice and were killed?
Well, there were a lot of Jews killed for it. And, you know, if you think about what a lot of the early church was, it was Jews, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah.
Huh. So basically, you had to embrace the paganism underneath the banner of Christianity,
the mingled
or be killed.
Right, so, and there was your mingling right there.
And if you, so did you love death, or did you love your life?
There was
life
the changing of the times, too.
That's right.
Times and times, you right. changed the calendar. Huh.
That's right. Yeah, the they whole changed, calendar
they changed.
Changed
feasts,
yeah.
They changed festivals.
And most people don't know the Gregorian calendar is from Pope Gregory. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Well, it sure is. We've seen it. We were robbed for years, weren't we? We've been robbed for years about this. Only who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. Remember how he gets rid of him?
The sword.
That sword that comes out of his mouth, which is the sword of the Spirit, the breath, the ruach of his mouth. And destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Remember?
Okay.
See, we read about it, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, and I don't think people understand this, when you don't love the truth, when you don't adhere to the truth, God will see to it that you get what you're calling for. Remember the children of Israel called, "Oh, that we might die in this desert?"
Mm-hmm. They did.
They got what they did. It says, for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. I believe that's the time we're looking at when Hasatan comes as a man and sets himself up as God. There's going to be people that worship him, that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let's quit on that one and go back to Revelation 13. You got anything, honey,
Mm-mm.
that needs to come out here?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So, remember he's got authority. Mm-hmm. And he was granted to him, verse 7, to make war with the saints. Who are the saints?
We got into the 144,000, yes.
Yeah, let's talk about who makes up the saints of the last days.
The saints,
who would that be?
Those are the, I would say,
It is the people who are left after the witness, right?
Okay.
The witnesses All right. have been there.
Mm-hmm. And they've been...
They've been spreading. Mm-hmm. People have called out. Mm-hmm. They have recognized by the time that they were here, they've called out to God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes.
Mm-hmm. And if you believe what I believe about them, these guys are evangelists that are bringing in the remnant of the Jews. Mm-hmm. They're bringing in the remnant of Israel. They're calling them in. And then you've got all of the backslidden Christians.
Going, this was true.
You know, who walked for a while and then went off on their own way. Says he was given to him to make war with them and to overcome them. Remember, that's what we read in Daniel, that he's going to overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Now, some believe that most of this is all going to be Middle East, and maybe it is, but it sure seems like it's going everywhere, doesn't it, at the end? Well, Jesus said if it didn't get shortened, the whole world would be destroyed, right? But he says, all who dwell on the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, will worship him, right? If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. What's he saying here? He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity.
Basically, Satan's going to be taken captive.
Sowing and reaping, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like that's what it is. And you remember Jesus told Peter that. He said, he that lives by the sword will die by the sword, right?
And I find it interesting here. It says, and given he was given authority over every tribe, tongue, and nation.
Mm-hmm.
Tongue. Well, tribes and nation would kind of sum the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing, yes, it's language, but it is also the tongue. It's what is proceeding out of those people's mouths. Mm-hmm. That's going to really establish this also.
By your word shall you be justified, yes. By your word shall you condemned. Be condemned. Yeah. Well, it just if you guys have got time to finish it, let's go on and get the next part, shall we? Verse 11 says, I saw another beast. There he is up there. Mm-hmm. The beast that comes up off out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Okay, let's talk about him a little bit. I think he's really important. It says he exercises all the authority of the first beast.
Mm-hmm.
So the Antichrist system will be exercised through the authority of this beast in the presence, and he causes the earth and those who...
Oh. Oops.
And those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, let's talk about him. Who is he? What kind of person is this?
Wolf in sheep's clothing.
A what?
Like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yep, that's good. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's exactly right. Has two little horns. Looks like a little lamb.
Looks very, Oh, you got your...
This little light of mine.
I'm going to let it shine.
You know, I wouldn't have thought that thing would have had any battery left at all. That's an old battery in there. We got a little in it. But,
It's like 4 inches of snow out there on those...
4 inches did it.
I bet
that's
it.
What did it.
I think the electrical wires had 7 of
them. I think so. This side where the wires are got 7 or 8.
Well, your phone's got a flashlight on it, too. I think.
Mine doesn't, but it's got a little bit of light.
You want to download the app real quick?
I thought about it. Mm-hmm. How do I do that?
I think you just... A droid light. Mine's a droid light, so maybe...
Mine's a droid.
Oh, just go to apps and go to droid light.
Well, I've got light behind mine, so I can talk about it.
Okay, you talk. Right, start again and read, since we had the drama thing go here.
Okay.
Right, start again.
I saw another beast come up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon.
Okay, the earth. That's the thing that really spoke to us. Because
comes out of the earth.
In certain, out of the sea. Some of them say that the land itself. Amplified said land itself. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it made me think, go back to the garden.
Right.
How did God create Adam? Out of dust. That's one of the things that I'm seeing. It's that...
trying to take dominion of...
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And look, like, you know, here's my creation.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Good. Good. That's great.
Yeah.
He performs great signs. Well, let's see. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound... Now, here it says was healed.
Mine says had been healed.
Yeah, okay. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven. Is that a duplicator?
Yeah.
A counterfeiter?
Yeah.
Yep. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of to the beast, that's idolatry, who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath.
That's the one that caught me.
To the image of the beast. Well, there again, you know, people love that. They just fall for that kind of stuff. You know, people that whose names aren't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, boy, that's strong delusion, isn't it? You remember that's what Paul said by the Holy Spirit. He said he'll send a strong delusion. And the beast could both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So what is his... what is his title?
Liar.
The what?
Liar.
Liar. Yeah, well, we'll go along with that. But he is the false prophet or the third member of this unholy Trinity. Yeah. Right. And so here we see that spiritual part. Now, what does he do? How does he act?
He comes in as a lamb. He comes in peace, is what I see. But he roars. His words are roaring like a lion or a dragon. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
No, he's like the Holy Spirit in that he refers everybody back to the other beast.
That's right.
And you know, the Holy Spirit always.
That's what Jesus said about him. He'll not speak of himself.
Yeah.
That's right. He gives all glory back to the Son, doesn't he?
And the breath thing is what really hit me. It says it's given power. How in one of these over here that we were reading, I think it was in the Amplified, it says that he was given power to give breath.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was the breath of God that was spoken, that breathed into Adam. And this is really, to me, the biggest deception, because I've always understood it's only Yahweh, our God, who is the giver of life. Satan can't give life. He takes life.
I believe that that's what it means when it says that God is going to send them strong delusion. I believe that something is given to him that he probably didn't even know he had.
Which is even the biggest trump of all.
Yeah.
Because it's going to make him believe
that
in his own deception that I am.
That's right.
More powerful.
That's right.
Interesting.
That's right. Now look at his two horns.
Mm-hmm.
What do horns mean on
a lamb?
On the other. Well, yeah, we normally think of horns on a lamb as being rather innocuous, although these big horns up here have some pretty good ones.
Don't they cut them off on lambs?
Sometimes, you know, they do now in our flock. I don't think they do so much in other lands.
Didn't they hold the oil?
Well, and they're the shofars, yeah, that's true.
They held the anointing.
Right, that's true, they did that too.
But if I understand sheepism... lambs don't have horns.
Well, they're that's true. That's true.
It would
true.
Be a goat or a...
Right.
That's what I've always thought.
A grown up.
Right.
Grown
and, of course, you know, here again, lamb may mean a young male sheep. But if we look at the horns again and think of the horns and what we've seen already, what have they represented?
Kingdoms.
Kingdoms. Now, we're looking at a religious system. with two horns. What do you suppose? I got to thinking today, have any of you heard that? Well, I know you've heard it because I've mentioned it, but have you heard the term Chrislam?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
What is Chrislam?
Islam and Christianity.
Mingled together, right? Mm-hmm. Where two groups come together. And I got to thinking, you know, wouldn't this be the ideal situation? Mm-hmm. That you get a covenant between these two world religions. And they're the two main ones right now, aren't they? Christianity and Islam. Now, it's true that maybe by numbers, you know, there might be more Hindus. But those two would be the ones that carry the most power on the earth today. And one is, I believe, totally a doctrine of devils. But there is the Christian religion that has been given over to secularism.
Question, are you saying that he is sort of abiding in those two religions?
I'm saying in my mind, or maybe I should even put it this way rather than say that I absolutely know this. This is something that came to me that I see a grave possibility of in the day in which we live, because there are those in their desire to make friends. You know, some people think if I can just make friends of somebody, I can win them. And, you know, if you've gotten away from the evangelism of the gospel, the foolishness of preaching, and there's a lot of people that have, a lot of people who call themselves Christians nowadays are not preaching the gospel. The message they have is social. It lacks power. They deny the power of the Lord in every practical way, but they call themselves Christians.
There is a lot of Christian churches, very renowned Christian churches, who the majority of the people, even the leadership, believe that there are other ways to God than
even
Jesus.
Evangelical churches.
Yes, yes.
Have 56% supposedly, yes, in a survey that was taken, that don't believe that Jesus is the only way.
And I see something else here. Whether it's a mingled truth, Christianity, and Islam, what are the two things that it really represents? Let us go back to the blessing on Abraham. We have Isaac and Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's taking and perverting the word. You have the woman, the Mount Sinai, you have what was the other good one?
Mount Zion.
You have the slave and you have the free,
mm-hmm,
woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying, no, it's good enough to mingle them.
Right.
You're trying to bring the bondswoman back.
And rather than right. Israel there, you're talking about Jacob. The fleshly. The,
yes,
fleshly way
very
of doing
good
things.
And, yes.
Yeah. So anyhow, when you hear this, you know, it's powerful. And, you know, I think it's going to require a lot more meditation, but it's certainly something to consider. And that's why I think the Lord says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity, we've already read that. Oh, wait a second. I went way back up. Now, verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, so that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the... Mine says who has the mark, mm-hmm, or the name of the beast, or the number
of his name.
Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. What do you see in 666?
Mine says each digit falls short of the perfect number 7.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And really,
but 6 is the number of man, isn't it?
Right. Most people say 6 is the number of man. 6 is the number of man. So what do we have there?
We have 3.
3 men.
Mm-hmm.
666.
Oh.
And there I think you begin to see the, you know, the humanism, the, you know, the whole power of the of that way of doing business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, there's a lot of talk that's been done about how you how you get that mark. And again, you know, I don't know. I don't know that it's, I don't intend to be here.
It's an interesting thing. It's your forehead. We heard the thing yep. about the priest. What did the priest wear on their, the band of gold that said, what holy unto you?
Holy unto the Lord.
Right, yeah. right.
And so here it's that. What else? Our right hand is, if we look at it in ancient time, it was your right hand that the blessing was in.
Right.
It was the, in Islamic culture, you can only use your right hand to eat with.
Uh-huh.
And it's only your right hand that you can do the good things.
Right, that's
but
true.
I thought he reached across.
He did. He did. He put his right hand on
the youngest.
On Ephraim instead of on Manasseh, right?
Manasseh was the oldest.
Yeah.
He took the birthright and gave it to the youngest.
And then Jesus he made
tried to uncross him and he did
okay.
it again.
And then he made him his own son. Made both of them his own son, actually. Yeah. So anyhow, that's probably enough for tonight. But
well, since we're in the dark.
Yeah. well, we're not really in the dark.
I feel like I'm really in the light. I'm just really getting there. Getting brighter and brighter.
I mean, we don't have electricity.
I know.
No, we just need candles.
Well, I'll tell you what you do. You pray and we'll go home.
Yes, you pray.
Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this time that we could study mm-hmm, together, yes. Lord. Just continue to bring revelation to us from this chapter throughout the rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen.